Unity.com.
Just edit that out of the podcast and we'll be all good. I don't know if you can edit it out of anyone's ears that are here this morning. Sorry about that, guys. Okay, so we are actually in the final week of a long series that we've been in based on the movie The Greatest Showman. And we, you know, if you haven't been around for all of it, we've been taking these the songs from the soundtrack and just seeing the link or the tie-in between some of the great moments. I mean, they're all great moments, but some of the great stories that we find in Jesus' life in the Gospels. And as we're wrapping up The Greatest Show series today, the theme is A Million Dreams. And it's, you know, we're using this song as the last part of our series, but interestingly, it's actually like the first song in the beginning of the plot of the movie. I mean, there's the opening tune, but when it really gets rolling, this is the first song because everything is kind of laying in front of them. You see this imagery here of a young Phineas Barnum who grows up in pursuit of a better life, a better than what he's had to endure growing up, better than what he's experienced in his own life. He wants the world to be different than what he sees it as now. So he sings those words from that song, "Every night I lie in bed, brightest colors fill my head. A million dreams are keeping me awake. I think of what the world could be. A vision of the one I see. A million dreams is all it's going to take. A million dreams of the world we're going to make." And as I'm listening to the words of that song, I think it's really easy to look at the world around us and wish for something better, isn't it? I mean, you know, you pop on your homepage on whatever that is on the internet, and instantly you're going to see stories that make you feel like, wow, there's some really awful stuff that is happening. Why is that taking place? Some things are big, and on a worldwide scale, in the big picture of things, they're really tragic. You know, this past weekend on Easter Sunday, we had bombings in churches and hotels in Sri Lanka, where at least last count I checked, it was over 350 people whose lives have been lost. And you know, you'd like to think that's an isolated incident, but there's some stories that say, well, there's evidence that those bombings were in the works for years, That's pretty tragic, and that's pretty big, but there's even small stories that make you go, what is this world all about? Like, there was a video I saw this week that went viral of two guys who were in kind of a fight, they were fist fighting, and in jumps this guy in a Easter Bunny costume, right? Fur and everything, and he sort of starts to try and break it up. I assume it was a he. It might have been a girl inside. I couldn't tell, but you know, he starts to break it up, and then eventually you see this picture of the Easter Bunny with these furry hands just smacking away, and I'm looking at this, and this video goes viral, and I mean, it's kind of funny, but it's really sad at the same time. Like, we live in this messy, messed up, crazy world. And so you see things like this, and we, of course, wish things were different. We wish things were better. And I think the thing is that when God looked at the world, after sin entered the picture, he saw a better world that he wanted to see take place too. And he set out to do something about it. Our big idea for this morning before we dive into our passages we're going to be looking at is this, that God not only has dreams for our world, he has a plan too. God not only has dreams for the world, he has a plan too. The death and resurrection of Jesus that we celebrated last week, that was a big part of that plan. It was the central part of that plan. So Jesus gives his life on the cross to make a way for us to be made right with God, to be reconciled with God. And that sacrifice makes it possible for us to be taken out of the kingdom of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of light, the scriptures say. Jesus made a way for us who were spiritually dead to be made alive spiritually. And that was a big, central, major part of the plan that God had. But after the death and the resurrection of Jesus, Jesus gave his disciples a mission, a commission, to take the good news about the victory over death and the offer of forgiveness for sin, and to take that message into the world. That same commission that he gave his disciples, which we call the Great Commission, it wasn't just for them, it's for us as well. It's for you and me. We're part of God's plan. He has dreams for the world. He has a plan too, but we're part of that plan. And that's what we want to explore a little bit this morning. Now, the Great Commission, you know, a lot of times when you talk about that, it's the Matthew version is what, and we'll get to that in a second. That's the one we kind of focus in on. But I think what's interesting is that in all four of the Gospels and the book of Acts, there's some mention of this mission, this commission that we have as followers of Jesus. And so I want us to work through them because I think as we look at them, each one gives us something unique about not only God's dreams for the world, but his plans as well. So that's what we're going to be exploring this morning. Now, you can follow along in your Bibles if you want to, but we're going to be pulling the verses up on the screen if it makes it a little easier because we're jumping from book to book here. So we're going to start this morning, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Here's what Matthew writes. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Now Jesus says here he's speaking with authority that has been given to him by God the Father, all authority in heaven and on earth. And he tells us what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to do it. In this account. And so Matthew, in this sense, Matthew gives us the instructions of the Great Commission. And the instructions are make disciples. Okay? Matthew says, here's your instructions, make disciples. Now, a disciple is a learner, someone who grows in their knowledge of the Word of God, of what God wants, and looks to become a mature Christ follower. It involves not just knowing the truths of Scripture, but also living them out. It's following Jesus both in our belief, but also in our practice. Right? Now, if we're going to be people who make disciples, if that's what we're called to do, then first of all, first and foremost, it's important that we ourselves are being disciples, that we are learning, that we are growing, that we are pursuing Jesus. We need to make sure our heart is surrendered to him first. If we want other people to follow Jesus and point them to him, we've got to be doing that with our own lives. Okay, so first and foremost, that's important. But he also gives us a little bit of the how in this. How are we supposed to make disciples? Well, first of all, it says by baptizing them. Now, the practical part of baptism is you take this moment of going under the water, coming back up. It's this representation of new life and washed away the sins, very similar to Jesus dying on the cross, being buried in the tomb, rising to new life. We rise to new life with him. That's the symbolism of it, but it's also very practical in that it's a public display, a public statement that says to the world, I am now associating myself as a follower of Jesus. And so the idea of baptism is about bringing people into association with God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, recognizing that they are one God in three persons. And so baptizing people and also teaching them to obey everything that Jesus commanded. That's what Matthew says. So we're supposed to make other disciples by baptizing them, by bringing people into association with Jesus, helping them come to follow him, and by teaching them to obey the things that Jesus taught. Okay, so that's one thing that is unique that we see in Matthew's Great Commission. Now, let's jump ahead to Mark. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. It says this, "And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Okay, so Mark kind of tells us what's hanging in the balance, doesn't he? Like, if people believe, they'll be saved, and if they don't, they won't. Mark talks about the impact of the Great Commission, and the impact is that it affects people's eternity. The importance of the Great Commission is that it affects people's eternity. We're all born spiritually dead, the scriptures say, unless or until we put our faith and trust in Jesus. That's something each person needs to do personally for themselves. That's why he tells us, proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Our job is simply to proclaim it. How people respond, it's up to them, right? It's up to them to either receive it or reject it. When we proclaim the gospel, as the scriptures tells us to, God will use it one way or the other. Now, hopefully, it's a positive thing. When we share the gospel with people, they come to receive it. God uses that to bring about salvation. On the other hand, when we proclaim the gospel to others and they reject it, he uses that too. Unfortunately, it's about judgment then. Right? So proclaiming the gospel is our part, leaving it up to others to either respond or not respond. That is on them. Now, I know that sometimes we get a little bit paralyzed as followers of Jesus about sharing the gospel with people. We get a little nervous about that. We don't want to be pushy, right? We don't want to turn them away. We have to remember, though, at the same time, that again, the scriptures say people are spiritually dead and need the life of God, the Holy Spirit, breathed into them to make them alive with Christ. And I know we don't want to offend people. I know we don't want to be pushy, but I want to say this about you guys. None of you are pushy people. All right, like I know almost all of you, and there are not many people that I would say this morning, boy, that's a pushy person. I'm sure they're shoving Jesus down people's throats. No, that's not who you are. So go ahead and share away. You're sensitive people. I mean, okay, that sounded bad. That's not what I meant by that. You are sensitive to other people. And don't be afraid to share. You really don't have anything to lose when you have the right heart. And I know most of you have that right heart. So share the gospel and let people do with it what they will. All right, so that's kind of Mark's deal, is the importance of the Great Commission. It affects people's eternity. Now we're jumping ahead two books to John's gospel. It's in chapter 20. It's not at the very end, it's in the chapter before, where he says this, he writes this, Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Right? Receive the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is sending them out and us out to do very important work. But he also gives them what they need to accomplish it. Right? John gives, this is going to be a weird word, the impetus. Because you have to have another I word. So John gives the impetus of the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, impetus, and I hope I even spelled that right, but the impetus means the energy or the force that makes something happen. Right? That's what the definition of impetus is, the energy or force that makes something happen. See, it wasn't on them to accomplish anything. It was dependent upon the Holy Spirit, the work that the Holy Spirit was going to do. The Holy Spirit gave them power, gave them strength, gave them courage, gave them wisdom, gave them guidance in sharing the gospel. You know who else has the Holy Spirit? We do, right? When we put our faith and trust in Christ, God puts his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, within us. We're made alive in Christ through the Spirit. So when you came to believe, the Holy Spirit is in you. So you're not sent out helplessly to share the gospel with instructions but no help. You have been given the impetus, the power, the energy or the force that can make something happen. You've been given the Holy Spirit to do it. Okay? So that's the third thing that we see in John. And then Luke's gospel, which also we're going to tie in Acts because Luke wrote both. Luke 24, verses 46 through 48. And Jesus said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." Now in Acts, he kind of picks up on that idea and begins to tell the story in greater detail. In verse one, Acts 1:8, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Again, there's that impetus, the Holy Spirit. "And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Okay, so this message about Jesus, the hope of forgiveness, this was a message that needed to be proclaimed to all people in all nations. And Luke and Acts, they give us the inclusiveness of the Great Commission. It includes the whole world. That's how far God wants it to go. Now, they were supposed to start right there in Jerusalem, ground zero for where Jesus died and rose from the dead. But then they would take that message to Judea, the surrounding territory around Jerusalem, and to Samaria, which, by the way, was a group of people that most Jewish people wanted nothing to do with. And God breaks down that barrier right from the start and says, "You're going to take it to Samaria." And then he says, "To the ends of the earth." Eventually, they would come to understand that this gospel message wasn't even just for people of Jewish descent. It was for everyone, every nation, every person, everyone, everywhere. And so God has this dream for every individual on the planet. His dream is that they would come to know Jesus, and that they would come to know who they're meant to be in Jesus. There are billions of people in the world, so even though the theme this morning is a million dreams, that's not actually big enough for God. He doesn't dream in the millions, he dreams in the billions. Right? His plan is to make disciples. The impact of it is on people's eternity. He has given us the impetus, the power, the Holy Spirit, and it's totally inclusive. He wants the whole world to know this. So God has this dream for everyone on the planet. And if he has a dream for everyone, his dreams are more than a million dreams. It's a billions of dreams. The world's population, there's actually a website you can go to look at this that tracks the world's current population. And it tracks the number of births and the number of deaths each day and adds them up. This weekend, the world just passed 7.7 billion people on the planet. It just passed that, like yesterday. Every birth, every death is tracked. And the number, if you're watching it on the website, the number actually changes as you sit and watch. So 7.7 billion people, and God has a dream for every single one of them. And some of those dreams that he has involves you playing an important role in it, in that plan. And this is where the Great Commission gets personal. We're part of God's plan to take the gospel to the whole world. When God told his disciples to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, it wasn't something that they were going to be able to accomplish in and of themselves. It wasn't even something they were going to accomplish in their own lifetime. They needed help. So who would do this? Well, the people they shared the gospel with would then take it to others. And the people that responded would then take it to others. And the people that responded would take it to others, and so on and so forth and on down the line until, you know, there was somebody who responded to the gospel that shared it with you. And now it's to you and I. We are called called to share the gospel with those around us and to take the gospel message to the whole world. Sharing Jesus with the whole world, though, that can be a daunting task. So here's one last point that I want us to hear this morning. Sharing Jesus with the whole world starts with our world. Right? It starts with our world. We need to share Jesus with the people that we rub shoulders with each and every day. With our family, with our friends, with our neighbors, with our classmates, with our co-workers. Now, we can't control how they respond. We know that. And sometimes that gets a little discouraging, doesn't it? I mean, I'll ask you to raise your hands on this question. Just think about the last couple of months. We had this series where people could be invited. We had a special event night. We had an Easter worship gathering that we kind of tried to promote. And how many of you, if you just raise your hand, if you invited someone to come to you with you to something in the last couple of months, right? If you invited someone to come to you for something, okay? Of those people who have your hand up, how many of you got rejected? Yeah. It's hard sometimes, isn't it? It's like almost 100% here this morning. The last few invitations I gave out, I got a flat-out no. Like, no, I'm not interested in that. I got someone who just wouldn't even respond because that was, you know, uncomfortable to say no. Then someone who said yes, and I was really excited about that, but they didn't come. They didn't show. That gets discouraging when that happens a lot. But that doesn't mean we should quit. That doesn't mean we should give up. Doesn't mean we should stop extending invitations or engaging people in spiritual conversations. That's important. We need to keep going. There was probably a time in your life where you weren't all that open to an invitation or a conversation. But something changed because God is always at work. So keep asking, keep pursuing. Because this is our part in God's plan. This is our part of taking the message to the whole world, is to take it into our world. I want to give us a moment here to pause and pray, similar to what Scott did just a moment ago. And I want you, if you could, to think of some people that come to mind for you in your life that you would say, as far as you know right now, they don't know the hope of Jesus. They don't know the truth of Jesus. And I want to ask you to take a moment, just a real quick moment, and pray for them. Just pray their name out loud, not out loud, in the quietness of your heart to the Lord, and ask for him to open their hearts to the truth of Jesus, to the hope of Jesus, and pray that they would ultimately come to know Jesus. I want to take just a quiet moment and pray for that first. Take one more moment of prayer, if you could. I just want to ask for you to pray that God would use you how he sees fit, to have impact, to have influence, to share acts of kindness towards them that would point them toward Jesus, and to pray for the sensitivity for how to do that, and words to share with them, and the right moment for that to take place. Let's ask God to make that a reality. God, you have an incredible dream for this world, one that is beyond what we can even imagine. But you also have a plan for that, and we're part of that plan. We pray in this moment that we would have the strength, the courage to reach out to those around us, to share the love of Jesus, that we would do it in our actions, but we would do it in our words, and that there would be an openness on their part to respond. I want to thank you for the invitation you've given to us. We want to extend it to those around us. Help us to fulfill the part of reaching out to the world by sharing you in our world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.